You're listening to The Daily Football Show, Australia's number one football podcast dedicated to the beautiful game.
This is the Russian World Cup adventure.
It got me again. I was all ready to go. Seriously, it got me again. Some big names miss out on their Russian dreams. An Aussie left back could be headed for Scotland while Arsenal get ready to sign Brendan Rodgers. Just kidding, Big Beef. Don't stress. Don't stress. This is the Daily Football Show, our Russian-flavoured theme. I'm your host, Adrian Beaker-Horton. Joel Freebie-Frushy joins me, and the Big Beef, of course.
Hello.
Gentlemen, good stuff. I like it. You must be very excited because a very good manager might be heading to your beloved club, Rob Crawford.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And it's not the people I was hoping it wasn't. There obviously were a couple of names getting thrown around there, but... If this is this
Kevin
is
Muscat,
Kevin Muscat, mm-hmm. Yep, Arnie was going to give up the Socceroos job. Kenny Lowe as well.
He was a big chance. Apparently, it was a real. He shattered to miss out.
Yeah, he was a real big chance. But this seems to be a good decision.
There's reports that Kenny Lowe's just in a dark room drinking whiskey, very upset that he just missed out on getting the position. I think he got down to the final three or something like that.
Yeah, it was Arteta, Emery, and Lowe.
Poor Kenny.
By all reports.
Poor Kenny. Farish, how are you, mate?
Going well, Adrian. You?
Yeah, good, good.
Excellent.
Had a few little wins today from a business perspective, so feeling good. The lemon teas are flowing. It seems like they fixed you up a treat. You sound good now, Farish.
Yeah, yeah. All the lemon-infused little snackables or drinkables that I've had, like the tea and the Strepsils, they're all working.
That's it, mate. That's it.
Did you get on the lem sips? Get on the lem sips.
I haven't had lem sip for a little bit.
Lem sips are pretty good when you got a bit of a sniffle.
Don't think I've ever had it.
Really?
You had the sniffles this morning, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But then I blew my nose and I'm okay now.
Maybe you should have got on the lem sips. Today's show, we'll be speaking to George Plamidis. He'll be emceeing a wonderful event tomorrow night for Canteen, who do some incredible work with people aged between 12 to 25 who are diagnosed with cancer, a topic that's close to our heart because, of course, Joey Lynch has suffered from that before and is still going through his remission. So I think it's only pertinent and it's only right that we give this event tomorrow night a bit of a shout-out, and I believe you two are attending.
I am not able to attend, unfortunately, tomorrow.
Big Beef.
Well, you guys are aware what I'm doing tomorrow, but unfortunately there is a bereavement close to me, so I will be attending. So I'm supporting a very close friend of mine in that matter. So unfortunately I can't go tomorrow.
Good man. And I actually can't go tomorrow, Frush, because it's my bloody birthday, but I would have been there with bells on, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll be there at least. I'll be there representing DFS.
You're a good man. We'll also chat to former Socceroo and Perth Glory hard nut, Jacob Burns, who's now general manager of football, we believe. I don't know. We were questioning what his title was downstairs first, so we'll have to ask him before we get him on air. But it's a massive coup acquiring the services of Tony Popovich as the head coach. So really interested to pick his brain and talk about the Glory and how they need to revitalise themselves and get themselves back on the right track in terms of their on-field performance. Okay, Unai Emery, he's close to being named as new Arsenal manager. Woo-hoo. The Spanish coach has emerged as a unanimous choice following the Gunners' recruitment process. Sorry, Kenny. The former PSG and Sevilla coach looks to have beaten out Mikel Arteta, who has been strongly linked to the post. No offence to Arteta, but when Unai Emery comes in, given his pedigree, and we had a bit of a look through Wikipedia first.
three Europa Leagues?
Before, three Europa Leagues, as I said, to you just off air, Frush. And he came in there and he really transformed the club. And I think he's a very good manager, someone that's proven it, not at a club that's got the enormous and powerful resources of all the big European giants that everyone's aware of. So to be able to do it at a lesser-known side or a second-string Spanish side and win that much silverware in such a short period of time, I think this is a great appointment for Arsenal.
Yeah, look, I tend to agree for the most part. And the other thing we've got to remember at PSG was that Unai Emery is managing some pretty big egos, let's face it. So I think in that sense...
Just a couple.
Not Neymar, though.
Just a couple. Yeah, not Neymar. I mean, he's got his own bloody junior fives tournament. But
bloody Matuidi.
Yeah, I'm still cut about that Archie Thompson. We should have won that tournament, if you're listening.
You guys actually should have, but at least the chips were all right. They were nice and hot. But
for 3 hours was good as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but look, he's dealt with dealt with the ego, so knows how to, I guess, handle a big club like an Arsenal. I think the worry for me is that from what I've really read and seen, Unai Emery's English isn't particularly strong yet. Maybe it'll get there, but I guess it's a...
Well, his French is obviously okay, and that seems to be the language of Arsenal. So I think he'll be okay. I really like this appointment. I've spoken to it's actually yet to be appointed, but I've really liked this. Spoke to a lot of Arsenal people this morning. I like it. I like that he's an experienced manager, but he's not an old fossil. And if there's one thing I didn't want after Wenger, I didn't want some guy who's 55, 60 plus, and
I didn't want
someone who's in the old game. I wanted someone who's younger, a fresh mind. Obviously, Mikel Arteta is a lot younger. And I was talking to Matty Bonici from Talking City this morning, and he was like, oh, look, you know, the romanticism of Arteta would have been great. But the thing is, I would have felt bad for Arteta if he'd come in and had a bit of a David Moyes kind of start and bottled it. I don't care if Emery comes in and is shit. I'd be like, cool, get rid of him. That's fine. But yeah. Arteta, you know, he was a great player for Arsenal for his time.
Too inexperienced, Rob.
Of course. But
way too inexperienced.
Yeah.
It would have been a very risky call in my opinion.
Massively risky call. Like, he's under arguably one of the best managers in the world. If not the best.
Yeah.
But look, I think this is a great appointment. He's got European experience. As you said, he's been at PSG.
How old do you think he is? We'll do cross quiz, a little precursor.
I've already checked. He's 46.
Yeah. And how old's Kenny Lowe?
63. He's 56. Okay, damn. Sorry, Kenny, if you're listening.
So there you go, young blood. No, I think he'll be good, but, you know, it remains to be seen. And, of course, I need to sign off on that appointment, but it looks like it's about to happen. So I think most Gunners fans will be pretty pleased. But, the pressure will be on. But it'll be great to see what he can do with those types of resources, Rob. Because, as I said, he hasn't had this type of war chest and all the TV money that we speak about over there in the Premier League.
Well, he's had a fair bit of money at PSG, to be fair.
Oh, correct. And, you know, I think, unfortunately for him, given the circumstances of what is a pretty intensive board of directors over there running that ship, and they're pretty cutthroat.
Oh yeah,
let's be honest. They want the Champions League. They walk or they canter in the league title every single season. Mm-hmm. I think there'll be much more patience at Arsenal.
Oh, definitely.
That it'll be afforded.
That's definitely.
And you know what? Do you want to put the expectations on him that he has to get you back into the top four in the first season, or you say?
I don't think so for first season. I think first season it's top six. Which is a given. Anything below that is a complete failure. But top six is fine. The thing I'm excited about is that obviously he's been around at Sevilla, he's been at PSG, and he's probably got some players that he's already got in mind. He's got some friends or some little favourites that we might not know about that he's got really close links.
Little favourites first.
Little favourites. And well, that's the thing. When new managers come, they'll often, in their mind, they'll go, I'm going to bring so-and-so with me. So who knows? Maybe he'll bring someone across from PSG.
What about the Moros? The Moros and the favourites? I've never been a big fan of them. They're like the second string Mars bars that you get the favourites.
The Mars. No, they're okay.
No, I'm not a big fan.
Do they sell them individually?
I don't know.
I think they only come in favourites.
No, I think they...
Do you like flakes?
I don't mind them.
Do you like them in a McFlurry?
Yeah, they're good in a McFlurry, but I normally get M&Ms. So
M&Ms?
I'm not the biggest fan. Do you get M&Ms or what do you get? I reckon he gets an Oreo McFlurry.
What's your go-to chocolate bar?
Come from
my go-to chocolate bar. Well, there's a couple. It's got to be either for me.
Well, don't leave us waiting for a show.
Either just a Dairy Milk.
Ooh,
or
boring.
Or
classic. Boring.
Cookies and cream Kit Kat.
Ooh,
fantastic.
Ooh,
fantastic.
Really weird.
I'm a Twix man. Love a Twix.
Love Twix.
Kit Kats is close second. But no, I'm a Twix man.
I'm a Twix man as well. Twix man and Picnics.
Oh, Picnics.
And I don't mind Snickers. They'd probably be third. Anyway,
okay. Fair enough.
Let's push on, boys. There are some very big names that will not be featuring at the World Cup in Russia. Belgium. Shut up. Belgium have left out hard-nosed midfielder Raja Nainggolan, while Argentina have omitted more.
Argentina? Argentina. Okay. Argentina.
What did I say?
Argentina.
Argentina.
What do you call a South American Persian with foot problems? Argentina.
Yes, Argentina.
Argentina.
I can't believe I said that. That's a 5:30 get up.
That's going in the That's going in the war.
Argentina.
So that's going in the,
I said Argentina.
Yeah. Well, if you just said Argentinian, you'd have been fine, but
okay. Anyway.
Proceed.
Argentina.
Proceed.
Moro Mauro Icardi will also miss for Argentina.
Not like the chocolate.
No.
Argentina.
Argentina.
Well, I'm never going to leave that one down. Spain, meanwhile, have left out Cesc Fabregas, Marcus Alonso, and Alvaro Morata. All Chelsea players, boys.
Also, Hector Bellerin didn't get picked, but that's no surprise because he's a dud.
And he criticised Arsenal fan TV.
He did, but...
yeah, don't do that.
Let's revel in the fact that clearly the best Spanish left-back, Nacho Monreal, got in over Alonso.
And he got in over Alonso.
And he's wearing the captain's armband. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's wearing, I think he's vice-captain.
Oh,
captain.
Wow.
Nacho.
Monreal.
Yeah, what a gun.
Vice-captain or skip.
Nacho, yeah. Man.
Half skip.
Yep.
You're legend. Joking.
Nah.
No way.
Yep.
And got and a head, listen to me. Mm-hmm. Sound like our good friend Jason Pine. Marcus Alonso, you're joking.
Yeah, he's the one that surprised me. I thought he's been amazing. But Alvaro Morata, no surprise. He's had a shocking year settling into the Premier League. He's had some moments, but he's really just not, hasn't flowed just yet. So
I wouldn't call it shocking. I think maybe it underwhelmed a tad.
Subpar.
Cesc Fabregas, Farouche, a wealth of experience, but not in the squad. Is that fair?
I think so. Yeah. Well, the thing is, and this is another thing with Spain, right? They just have so much depth. It's ridiculous, really. I guess it speaks volumes that a guy like Cesc Fabregas can't get in. But, I mean, if we want to look at the positives for West Australians or Perthians or whatever you want to call them.
Argentinian.
Those people from the other side of the country, those players will likely be... my throat is shocking.
This is going swimmingly. Yeah.
Those players will likely feature in that friendly against Perth Glory, so that's a good thing.
Farouche, you need a lemon tea.
I know, I need another lemon tea.
I'm currently having one. You can't actually read out what's on my mug, though.
Yeah, so it says kick, sunts, sip, soy.
Get out of it. Okay, let's get to the last news story before we get to George, who's emceeing the canteen night. Some local news. Scottish club Hearts is reportedly interested in Adelaide United left-back Ben Garuccio. Journalist Jamie Borthwick tweeted the news linking the 22-year-old to Edinburgh. Garuccio's contract with the Reds is up. This would be, I guess, a good move for him. New horizons for us, so to speak.
Yeah, good move for the kid. Funnily enough, he's my age, so he's not really a kid in a lot of ways. There we go again. Yeah, look, it's interesting.
Who do you think you are?
I think it kind of depends how Hearts plan on using him, because even at Adelaide United, I've really always seen Ben Garuccio as more of a winger than a left back. I think his attacking game is far better than the defensive side of his game. But look, he's been around the A-League for a little bit. So look, if he gets a move to Hearts, they're a pretty big club. So look, it's one that I certainly hope comes off for him, because I think it's a decent level overseas in Europe that he can make it work at.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Farouche.
Yep. Just to correct, Nacho Monreal is not wearing the captain's armband.
Vice skipper.
I don't know where I pulled that from.
Yeah. That's
I read it somewhere this morning. Probably as an Arsenal person commenting somewhere just to dig into Chelsea supporters. By the way.
You're a fool, Crawford. All right, we've got a special guest on the line, boys. George Plamidis, who's doing a great job, and I absolutely love this stuff. It's close to our heart here at the Daily Football Show with Joey Lynch. We spoke about it off the top. Canteen are running a fantastic night, a World Cup trivia night, in fact, out at Q. And on the line, we're speaking to that very man. Welcome, George.
Welcome, guys. How are you going?
Mate, we're going very, very well. It's great to have you on to promote this incredible event and all the great work that Canteen do for kids aged between 12 to 25 who are diagnosed with cancer. So just to begin, I guess, a little bit of an elevator pitch about the event tomorrow night.
Look, essentially, this event's to raise more money and more awareness as well for Canteen Australia. And as you said in your intro, they've helped Joe tremendously, and we want to make sure they keep helping other people who find themselves in the same position. And when football and trivia nights meet, they're two of my greatest passions. So it was a no-brainer for me to suggest this. I'm looking forward to it big time.
Now, I've been lucky enough to be at one of your trivia nights, George, back in 2016. This was part of the Lift for Lynchy campaign back then. So I'm going to be there again. Have you got any trick questions lined up that I can expect?
Well, I didn't word you up. It's funny you say that because I've taken a different approach this time, in as much as most of the questions will be on the slide, where the answers will be on the slide with the question. So it's multiple choice, but to as a counterbalance, I've thrown in every round is five questions, and every round has two what I call paninkas. So they're questions that if you're wrong, you lose a point. If you're right, you get a point, and if you take it, play it safe, nothing happens to you.
I don't mind
so
that.
It's a bit of a different approach.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe something that Rob Crawford, our producer, should look into, because I'm not sure if you're aware, but he runs the infamous quiz on Friday here on the Daily Football Show called Big Beef's Quiz, I guess.
It's Cross Quiz.
Cross Quiz. You can jump on the line and explain that. I think you're very impressed by that little strategy there, Crawford.
I do. I'd like that a lot. It's a bit too much for me. My quiz has been described as shambolic at best, but I think that's kind of works for me. But I'm hoping you run a pretty tight ship there, George.
I do, and I also deal with heckling. I have a yellow and red card from my refereeing days with me, and any heckling will attract a gold coin donation in the Shakers, because my son and my nephew are coming along. They're going to experience with football community stuff, and they're going to come along and extract some silver coinage, gold coinage from anybody who gives any guff.
Ooh, I might have to apply that same thing here, because I've got a couple of rascals in this studio who kick up a bit of a fuss when they don't win.
I'd be broke if that was the case. I heckle him like no other. I'm convinced, George, that the Crofts quiz is fixed. Joel always wins it. I reckon it's fixed. But anyway, you'll have to listen in every Friday for that one.
Now, we do have to let you go very shortly, George, because we know you're a busy man. But just to reiterate for the listener's sake, the details of the trivia night tomorrow, it's at Yonis Tavern in Q840 High Street, East Q. $60 entry, which includes dinner, drinks at 6:45, and the trivia starts at 7:30. There are still places available. So, George, what do the listeners have to do if they want to get involved at this late notice?
Well, basically, we have a try booking website which has had very success in terms of functionality, which is a bit annoying. But go onto your Twitter post after this, and they can use the login for try booking, or they can just turn up like a lot of the football community used to, and just bring cold hard cash.
Beautiful, I love it, George. So for any of the listeners out there in Melbourne who are interested, tomorrow night at 6:45, drink starts, 7:30 p.m. the trivia starts for Canteen to raise more funds for cancer for those young people aged between 12 to 25. Thanks a lot for jumping on, mate, and all the best with the event tomorrow night.
Thanks, see you there. Thank you, bye-bye.
Beautiful stuff. Now, after the break, we've got Jacob Burns, the Perth Glory head of football, joining us to talk about the amazing signature of Tony Popovich.
You're listening to the Daily Football Show, Russian World Cup Adventure.
Hello, Mr. Kearns. I bad want money now. Me sick.
Ooh, he card reads good.
Do you card read good?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, sponsorship packages for the Daily Football Show's World Cup Tour are still available. So if you want your brand or company activated by myself, Beaker Horton, maybe the Big Beef Crawford, Joel Freebie Frushi, then make sure that you inquire about those sales opportunities on 0424-220-945 or info@podularmedia.com.
Talking to you, Mr. Kearns.
Welcome back to the Daily Football Show. Adrian Beaker-Horton with you, Joel Freebie-Froshi, and on the line, a man that must be absolutely rapt with the appointment of Tony Popovich. It's Jacob Burns, the Perth Glory Football Director. Welcome, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mate, like I said, and I'm a Glory man myself. Peter Philopoulos converted me a few years ago, and I'm absolutely smitten with the appointment of Popper, and you must be the same.
Yeah, look, his history in the game, both as a player and as a manager, speaks for itself. And to attract him over to out to the West, to our fantastic club with a lot of tradition, I think he'll be very good for us.
Jacob, it's Joel here. Obviously, we know all about Popper's credentials, I guess, on field, if we want to call it that, but also off the field, I think, is certainly something that I'm sure a lot of people respect about him. So was it almost as much the off-field stuff as the on-field stuff that really drew Perth Glory to go after Tony Popovich?
Yeah, look, I mean, there was, you know, what happens in football when, you know, you part ways with a manager. You know, a lot of people send their CVs in, and there was a number of high-calibre and well-experienced coaches that had sent through their CVs. But, yeah, we were definitely very particular in what we wanted to bring him. And, you know, Popa was the top of that kind of list. And as you mentioned, obviously he's off-field, not only his on-field, but his personality, his drive and his style really was something that we know that we were looking for.
Now, we've seen some great things being done off the field from yourself, but of course the departing Peter Philopoulos, who has also flown the coop. So what's the big thing for you guys that you'd like to change? Because, look, at times I thought Kenning Lowe was absolutely brilliant. It was pretty certain from the outside looking in that he had the belief and I guess the buy-in from all the players. And there were different periods throughout the last few seasons where I thought Perth Glory might be on the cusp of something, but it just didn't materialise. So what are the big things that you want to change inside the club with this new appointment of Popper?
Yeah, look, I think you mentioned we're parting ways with Peter Philopoulos, who is a fantastic operator in his field, and I'm sure he's going to be an asset to wherever he goes. And likewise with Kenny, you know, working with Kenny over an 11-year period, you know, very astute and a fantastic guy and manager, and everyone has their own unique style. Look, I think it's just timing more than anything. You're right with, you need the perfect recipe, and sometimes, you know, you get three quarters of it right, and sometimes you miss certain things, you know, and that's not to make any excuses with injuries and so forth. But look, I just think sometimes new direction, a new kind of fresh face, and certain qualities in certain people can also affect the little bits and pieces and the percentages that you need to find at a club. And look, that's one part of it. You know, Pop is going to be one huge part of that. And we'll work very closely in the recruitment of the players that we need to get in. But the other side of that is making sure that the guys that we bring in are, you know, optimum fitness levels and are working ever so hard and fighting for places. And that's where, I suppose, as well, your owner comes into it and actually has to separate with funds to make sure we've got an extremely competitive squad where guys are fighting for their places and they're looking over his shoulder, because, as we know, that breeds success, and competition for places is always a good thing.
No doubt there will already be some people in that backroom department helping out with Popper already and forming the coaching staff, etc. But just in terms of, I guess, Popper's own people, Jacob, how much sort of leeway or freedom will he be given to bring some of those guys that he wants to work with?
Yeah, look, initially he's bringing in an assistant coach, and that was, you know, in the negotiation process at the start. We've got some incredibly talented staff that are amongst us, and he's quite happy to work with these guys as well. Some that he's known through his footballing times, and some that I'm sure he's enjoying to work for the first time with. And I think that's the beauty of Bob. I think he empowers a lot of people, and I think that he has a very distinct work ethic and the way he approaches things. And I think that the guys that are currently here will really embrace that and take that on.
Now, it'd be remiss of us and of myself and the Far Post Perth crew talking on behalf of them not to bring up Diego Castro, who, of course, is out of contract. Is there any more movement on that one, Jacob?
I can't really say, mate. you know, it's been ongoing. But, yeah, look, I can't give you a final answer. But, you know, he's one of a number of really, really interesting guys. That and obviously, he's a legacy player and someone who has fantastic qualities. But I'm sure over the coming weeks, everyone will be waiting and anticipating, but I'm sure over the coming weeks, there'll be a few more announcements as we look to build for, you know, not only the big season that's ahead of us, but, you know, Chelsea on the 23rd of July, we'll be able to have a look at a few more guys as well. You know, Popovich is back over here this weekend looking at the young guys coming through the academy as well, so he's got a really good insight to where these guys are coming through the young brigade, and it's really important for the future of our club.
Now, Socceroos, we'll change our focus. Most of your 11 caps between 2007 and 2009, you featured in some World Cup qualifiers. Just personally, what was your favourite Socceroos memory, Jacob?
I think it's got to be your first. When you debut and you put on your green and gold, it was you know, a special time for me. I was fortunate enough to come through all the youth ranks and play for the young Socceroos and the Olyroos a number of games. But when you get your first senior cap, and Mine came in Scotland, where my heritage is from and my father's family's from, and to have him over there at Hampden Park and to actually beat Scotland was a big feat back in 2000 for us. So that's a special memory for me, for sure.
Just on the squad itself, Jacob, obviously back in the day you were a real sort of midfield enforcer type thing, and we look to Mille Jedinak now to find those qualities in. And I'm sure, or personally, I'd love to see Mille being the leader, start probably all three games at the World Cup, if not at least two.
In a defensive mid role?
In a defensive midfield role, yes, partnered with Massimo Luongo. But I guess the great thing is that we do have that depth in midfield, Jacob. So if you had, or if you were in Bert van Marwijk's shoes, how would you go about forming that number six pairing in midfield?
Yeah, look, I think, Mille Jedinak is someone I know quite well, and we crossed over through the national team. And I think that... that defensive midfield role is such an important one, and he's such a leader. And I'm like you guys, I'd love to see him in there leading the troops, because he's got a hell of a lot of presence and experience in there, and it's a very important position for our national side. But also, I think that, Bert's looking at it with fresh eyes, and, he's looking and focusing on one thing, and that's to get results. He's got a very hard group stage to get through, and he's going to do everything he can to try and get the points on the board to get us through to the next phase.
The beautiful thing about living over in the West and in Perth, and I spent a bit of time over there when my brother was playing the egg ball game for East Frio over there. So it's a lovely place to visit. And I'll tell you what, when you're out of season, Jacob, you must be loving it, because I believe you're a pretty keen golfer.
Yeah, I like my golf, and the kids have loved their surfing. So it's a great place to be if you like the outdoors and the weather, you're extremely blessed, coming from the east and, freezing my butt off, so to speak, in Europe for 11 seasons. I've landed fair and squarely on my feet here, and, it's a wonderful place, and, it's one of them places, I think, when people come and spend a bit of time, they realise how special it is.
The burning question, what's the handicap?
Oh, geez. Look, I don't play anywhere near as often. Three kids doesn't allow you to, and the workload at Glory doesn't allow you to be out there. I think the only time I get is when I get invited on the programs with the, and I'm normally covering for players that can't make it because they're training. I've had it down pretty low at one stage. I probably got it down to 8 or 10 at once. I dare say it's gone way back up there, and I'll probably be looking, fishing out some more balls from the water or the ponds these days.
Yeah, well, put it this way, I'm happy to get a double bogey, so that's as good as I am at golf. So anyway, mate, we'll leave you to it. It's been great to have you on, and look, I know that a lot of Perth Glory fans are very excited about the appointment of Tony Popovich. It'll be interesting to see what type of recruitment drive gets put in place, because no doubt there are some Glory fans that are a little bit pissed off about the way that the season ended. So it's a season of retribution coming up for the Glory. I'm excited, and I think every Glory fan out there should be, because really, in a lot of senses, it's a statement of intent from the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to the season ahead of us, and looking forward to try and bring some silverware back to this fantastic club.
Jacob Burns, Perth Glory Football Director. Thanks for coming on the Daily Football Show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're listening to the Daily Football Show, Russian World Cup Adventure.
Welcome back to the Daily Football Show. We're in segment two. I'm excited. Adrian Beaker-Horton, Rob the Big Beef Crawford. Stop giving me those weird looks. I'm sick of them. I'm absolutely sick of them,
Fight
Rob
me.
Crawford.
Fight me.
Anyway, I'm going to jump over here with Froosh. He's my main man. He never gives me those dirty looks. But we've left the guy hanging, so we may as well introduce him into the show, because he's a big listener of the Daily Football Show. He's a loyal fan, and he's heading over to Russia as well. So Tom James, welcome, mate.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Mate, we're going very well. And I said to you off air, very happy that you have a very easy name to pronounce, just like yesterday. with the particular gentleman that we got on the show. I've been up very early, so I've forgotten his name first. But anyway.
Tim. You forgot Tim already.
I have. I'm all over the shop today, Tom. But anyway.
We've changed one letter. You've already forgotten.
Yes. Correct. I have.
Well, look, glad's a negative for you, though.
Anyway, the great thing is, Tom, that we're heading to Russia. You're heading to Russia. So first thing, off the top, what's the itinerary looking like?
We are pretty much all over the shop. So I am going to fly out to, actually, yeah, to Italy in a few weeks, first of all. Going to spend a few days there. Would you believe it's actually pretty cheap to fly from Italy to Russia?
Right. Lovely. Before the World Cup. Lovely.
So, yeah, we'll be into Moscow. We're going to follow Australia around, much like you guys, I imagine, Kazan, Samara, Sochi. We got a weird road trip going from Samara to Sochi, so we'll be stopping in a couple of places, to be honest, I've barely heard of. I think Krasnodar and somewhere else. Mm. That's about 3 days on the bus.
That sounds good.
And then, yeah, out through St. Petersburg. So, yeah, look, if Australia didn't make it through, unfortunately, I think I'll already be home, but, you know, might not be too much of a risk.
That sounds epic, and I'll tell you what, guys. At least someone is flying from Italy to the World Cup. I'll tell you that. Someone had to do it.
Exactly.
Someone had to do it, Tom. Am I right? But
we figured there might be a little gap in demand there.
So fantastic stuff, mate. But I need to ask. And we asked him this question yesterday, and Adrian only looked at a map of Russia today.
I did.
How's your geography skills when it comes to Russia?
Look, I know more than I did a few months ago, and I've been, you know, like a lot of people, just spending hours and hours after work trying to figure this out. Still can't claim to be an expert. I guess we're going to kind of find out on the ground, right?
Yep.
I could probably point to the cities I'm going to on a map if you gave me one, but couldn't go beyond that, really.
I'm the same. I had no idea how the country was structured in terms of geography. I was looking like way, way out into the east, into what I can only imagine is like farmland and forest. Mm. And Farouche was like, what are you doing, you idiot? You need to place your cursor right across.
Yeah, I remember saying a few months back, oh, like, no worries, it's just European Russia. Like, it's small enough. And, you know, obviously, I think from Samara to Sochi is still something like 3,000 kilometres. So it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
I got a pretty lighthearted one just for you, Tom. What's your thought on the Russian occupation of Chechnya?
I was hoping you'd ask me.
We
haven't talked about that yet.
No, we'll leave that one by the by. But look, but seriously, you know, how are you feeling about your security, or are your friends and family a bit nervous? Cause I know my mum's like very, very paranoid that I'm going over there. So what's your family feeling?
Look, I was talking to a friend yesterday who is Russian, and she told me that I should expect my ATM card to get skimmed over there. So that's great news.
Oh, perfect.
Should carry as much cash as possible to avoid that.
Okay.
Look, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's one of those places where you kind of got to expect it to be a bit weird, right? And not everything's going to go well. A little bit nervous about the flights, I suppose, flying on some pretty weird airlines, but got to kind of roll with the punches, I suppose.
Yeah, no, good. You got to embrace it, mate. It is what it is. I think there's too much moral panic, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of traditional media publications and my good man Ross Kemp that have put out some pretty damning that have put out some pretty damning stuff on Russia. But it's like it's the same old thing. Yep. When you're traveling overseas, you just stick to the safe areas and don't be an idiot.
And I think as well, like there'll be a lot of Russian people who may or may not be aware that they get a bit of a bum rap and they sort of trying to put on a good show, because like, look, this, you know, the eyes of the world are on them and they want to put on a good show and make sure people come home feeling good, or they might just go, let's just rob all these Australians. So who knows?
Because I remember the exact same moral panic, as you say, in Brazil 4 years ago, and it was fine. It was awesome, actually. So, yeah, I think it's going to be great. I'm not really worried.
Beautiful. So is this your second World Cup?
Yeah, second one for me.
Beautiful. That's amazing.
Couldn't leave it at just one. It was too good.
Now, tell me, let's talk about the team itself. We love referencing who's your boy, and I'm a big fan of Jackson Irvine, as you're probably aware, and I know that Rob the Big Beef Crawford loves Daniel Arzani. I'm not sure who yours is. Farouche, who's your boy? Just quickly.
My boy in the Socceroos.
Yeah, who would it be if you could choose one?
James Meredith.
Oh, yeah. I'll take James Meredith.
Okay, anyway, he likes taking the left of centre ones, the weird ones. We do love James. Yeah. Anyway, shout out to James. But, Tom, who's yours?
Well, look, I guess as a massive, you know, 13-year Sydney FC fan, sort of duty bound to say Matt German. I think there's just too much to like about him. He's old school. He's blood and thunder. He's obviously very Sydney FC, so yeah.
Yeah.
that's got to be it.
Good call. I like that.
Sydney FC. Yeah. Now, I think Rob's a little bit salty about Sydney FC because they didn't knock off Melbourne Victory in the semi-final, which, of course, would have meant that they got the coveted ACL spot.
Well, it's not really Sydney FC's fault, to be honest. I more put blame on a three-letter word, to be honest, is what really cost us this
spot. Acronym.
An acronym. So we'll leave that one. We've talked enough about that.
What did you think about the way it all panned out in the grand final, and maybe even take us a step forward as well, Tom, and speak about that incredible semi-final because it was so dramatic?
Yeah, look, with the semi-final, I tried not to be too upset. Obviously, there's a lot of bitterness amongst all of us who love Sydney FC. But look, if I'm to be perfectly honest, we would just pour on the night. And we couldn't claim to be the better side. And, the format is what it is. And if you're going to love it when we win the grand final, you can't then complain that the final system's a joke when we, go out in the semi. So, yeah, that was what it was, I suppose, to use a great football cliche. I mean, the final with the VAR, that was kind of different, wasn't it? You sort of felt like if we're going to suffer through it all year, it should at least get it right when it kind of matters the most, and it's so bloody obvious. Yeah. I couldn't help but feel bad for Newcastle on that, even though they kind of wasted a million chances after that as well, didn't they, in the first half?
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly once the alcohol wore off, it was a very surreal feeling, that particular grand final. But just to switch quickly, focus back to the World Cup, Tom, before we do let you go and get back to your real job that we have here. Daniel Azani, he spoke a bit about nutmegging people in a little video that he did, and he said he wanted to nutmeg Paul Pogba. So if you had to write your ideal headline or your ideal event to come out of the World Cup, what do you think that would be?
I mean, look, I don't want to be too picky. If we can get through the group stage somehow, some way, whether it's, an own goal off Paolo Guerrero's bum, it doesn't, any headline that's to do with us getting through, I don't care, I'll take it, It doesn't have to be the ultimate. That would just be incredible.
What about your doomsday headline?
No. We want to stay positive.
Nah, doomsday is good.
Okay, doomsday.
What's your doomsday headline?
I was thinking about this, and I mean, I'm old enough to remember the kind of like media meltdown in 2010 after the Germany game. Mm. And I felt like even though we actually played really well in the next two, it was just kind of this dampener of the whole thing. And obviously with France being so stuff, you have to be a little bit worried, don't you, when you look at the players they're leaving out. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess we just cross our fingers for that.
Yeah, so I think we just park three triple-decker buses and we just seriously hope for the best because I hate to be pessimistic,
play Moy one out. Confident. Moy one out as a lone striker and then everyone else behind him in a line just in front of the goal.
was it Richard Garcia as a lone striker against Germany? I think it might have been. So, yeah, maybe.
There you go.
Interesting stuff, Tom. We're really excited, mate. It's great that you're going to your second World Cup over there in Russia in a few weeks' time. We'll be over there, mate. We'll have to catch up, have a beer, get into the festivities, and let's hope, fingers crossed, that the Socceroos can do a miracle for us.
Absolutely. Cheers, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for jumping on.
You're listening to the Daily Football Show, Russian World Cup Adventure.
Wrapping it up. Wrapping up the Daily Football Show. I have no idea what that was. Big Beef. Has it given me? He gives me those eyes again, Frush.
I reckon it was like Argentina.
Stop it, please. Please stop it.
Is the capital? I reckon the capital is Warsaw of Argentina.
Yeah. Make sure we're in Russia that you do shower with sandals on if it's a bit of a dirty hotel because you don't want to get any Argentina in your feet.
I don't know why I do it to myself. It was great. Having Tom James on, fantastic. It's good to speak to the fans. That's what it's all about. They are the lifeblood of the beautiful game. So it'd be great to actually catch up with a few of these people when we are in Russia, boys. But Joel's put on the agenda as we go out. What are your dream World Cup headlines? Let's ask ourselves that question.
Would have been nice to have been prepped on this one. Would have thought of something good.
Tom, off the fly. You're a pro.
Off the fly.
Well, while you think and annoy the listeners with your Let's just throw the floor to Farouche. What's yours?
Oh, there's a couple.
No, you're only allowed one.
Okay. I think.
Yes.
Belgium.
Okay.
Miss qualification to the next phase, and Roberto Martinez gets sacked like he did at Everton.
That's your dream scenario.
What? So not a Socceroos theme one.
Oh, I could give you a Socceroos theme.
That's the whole point of it, Farouche.
Oh, I got mine. It's front of whatever your paper you read, and it just says Naboot, and it has three O's because he scores a hat trick, and we beat Denmark 3-0 because Naboot just absolutely tears him apart.
Dream headline. That's it.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
I love that.
I reckon mine would be Action Jackson banging in a winner against Denmark keeps Christian Eriksen quiet.
Yeah. I like that. Mine would be getting the result we need in the Peru game to get us through to the knockout stage. And my boy Jackson Irvine heads it in from a corner late. And then he grabs his ponytail and he pulls it up and he acts like he's cutting it. Okay. And then the next game he comes out.
Not a shot of him jumping over into the crowd and hugging you?
No. And then the next thing that happens is he comes out in the next game and he's just full bald like Bresh. He's just gone full bald. Because the whole idea of scoring the goal was it was a bet within the camp that he would chop his hair, hence the celebration. And then the next game in the knockouts, he's gone full Bresh mode.
Wow.
There you go.
That's not going to happen, but I like it.
It's cool, isn't it?
It is cool.
Yeah, that's mine. I just thought of that on the spot. I'm a weird person. Sad news, Santa Cazorla is leaving Arsenal after 6 years with the Gunners. He said farewell with a video on Arsenal's website. Let's get to the audio.
Hello to the Arsenal fans everywhere. I'm very sad to be leaving after so many great times. I have loved my time with the club, and I will always remember the special moment we had together. Our FA Cup win in 2014 is something we will never forget. It was a great moment for me and for the club. And I want to say thank you very much because you always give me a special support. I'm very proud to be part of this club history. And I want to wish you all the best. I will miss you a lot. And thank you very much again.
I'll miss you, Sandy. I really would.
I'll miss that accent.
What a baller.
He was at his, unfortunately, the last few years of his time at Arsenal really cut down by injuries, but he was at his peak, I would say, one of the hardest, attacking midfielders to dispossess in the league. His skill on the ball was amazing. That free kick he scored in the FA Cup final against Hull was amazing. He was just a real class act, and he's also awesome on FIFA. He was such a good player on FIFA, old Santi.
Absolute
favourite of mine. So sad to see him go.
Yeah, and I think for most of the Arsenal fans as well, I say baller and I mean it. He was the epitome of a dribbler. His skills were immaculate. I loved watching him play as well, and I think most neutrals did as well. He's a pretty inoffensive cat. Like, I don't think many opposition fans would have really hated him. Mm. There was no reason to really hate him. He wasn't a malicious player whatsoever. So, yeah, absolute gun. Unfortunately, his career curtailed by injury. Now, Farouche, before we do go, I believe there's a shout-out.
Yeah, got to give one to at Dan underscore M75 on Twitter, who tagged us in a tweet, and he said he enjoyed the how do you pronounce it, Rob? The Tchaikovsky intro?
Tchaikovsky, yeah.
Tchaikovsky, and he put in there hashtag edumacated.
Yeah, so, I think it's the Waltz of the Flowers by Tchaikovsky. Made well over 100 years ago, so...
Edumacated.
Edumacated,
I like,
yeah. But, check out your Tchaikovsky kids. Get around it.
Good on you, Rob.
Yeah.
Good on you.
That's all the cool football. Like, Pogba's just banging out Tchaikovsky. Like, he hasn't got any hip-hop going on there. It's all Tchaikovsky in those headphones.
I can't imagine it is. Anyway, Wednesday, tomorrow, hopefully, fingers crossed, Jason Kalina will join us, which is a great coup if we get him on first. So where's that at the moment? Mm-hmm.
Waiting on a response. Left a message.
Come on, Jace.
For Jason. So trying to get him. We've had him on before, and he's very insightful.
Mate, Jace is in our studio. Look, he's in our studio. If you know the Daily Football Show banner, and Jason Kalina,
he's running. He's running away from us though.
He's running straight towards Bresh in the 2005 World Cup qualifier against Uruguay. I love that photo. It's absolutely incredible. Gives me goosebumps. Don't forget, tune into the Daily Football Show, weekdays 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time via iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever, whenever, Argentina. Oh, another one I'm not going to live down. Idiot Beaker.
This has been a Podular Media production.